In the small town of Brendonville, there lived a boy named Nicholas. Through all of his years of growing up in Brendonville, he had one and only one best friend.
His dog, Rudolph. Nicholas and Rudolph did everything from science experiments to walks in the park with each other for over 15 years.
Sadly, Nicholas had to go to college for science technology, but he couldn't bring Rudolph with him. Science technology was his dream job at his dream school.
As they said their goodbyes, Nicholas was off to college and had fun learning so many new things, but it was so hard having that Rudolph by his side.
A few months into school, Nicholas got an unexpected call from his mother.
Ring, 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 ring.
Hello, Mother. Is everything okay?
Honey, I'm afraid not. It's Rudolph.
What? What happened? Put him on. Let me talk to him.
I'm sorry, Nicholas, but he's dead.
In complete shock, Nicholas drops the phone.
Then he slowly lays on his bed, crying for hours. As Nicholas dries his tears, he turns on the television to get his mind off the tragedy.
He turns the channel to his favorite show, Science Alive, and begins to recall Rudolph's favorite episode, where the main character recreates his lost family members.
Suddenly, Nicholas stops and realizes something brilliant. Then he puts on his robe and sprints down into the university science room.
He grabs his sketchbook and begins calculating the works of his creation.
Every day and night, Nicholas spends time bringing his creation to life, but hides his creation so the university wouldn't expel him from using the science room after curfew.
Until finally, nearly a year later, he has everything he needs to conduct his experiment. Nicholas needed to plan where and when he would do his experiment without getting in trouble.
An idea struck his mind.
I shall do this experiment at my house.
As days pass, the day has come to do his experiment.
Nicholas skips all of his classes and takes a private train to his parents' house.
As soon as he gets home, Nicholas sneaks into his room, knowing his parents wouldn't be home.
Nicholas sets up his experiment into the living room, giving it enough room to function. Minutes later, everything is set up.
Nicholas pulls down the lever.
Sparks start to fly everywhere. The machine begins to shake, spin, and jump.
Suddenly, everything stops and the room fills with smoke.
Nicholas tries to see through all the smoke, but with his goggles fogged up, all he can see is a bright, red, glowing light beneath his machine.
Rudolph, is that you?
I don't know, man. You tell me.
Nicholas pulls back his goggles and jumps back as he sees what he has created in front of him.
You're not Rudolph. Who are you?
I don't know, boy. You're the one who created me.
I didn't mean to create you. I didn't want some random creature.
All right, I see I'm not what you wanted me to be, but I'm only human. I got feelings too, bro.
Nicholas couldn't believe his eyes or his ears.
Look, I can fly and take you wherever you want.
Rudolph then is lifted off the ground and up into the air with no wings or anything to make him fly. In his mind, it was scientifically impossible.
Nicholas couldn't understand how any of this could be possible.
All he had tried to do was bring his dog back to life, but somehow he had ended up with a talking, flying, deer-type creature.
Once he began to think about it, Nicholas had just created a spectacular animal. He wanted to tell everyone what he had done.
The king will love me, he thought. I'll get tons of gold after they find out what I've done.
Come, Rudolph. This is what I shall call you and present you to the people of the mainland.
The main what now?
Oh, hush, you bum. You'll see it when you get there.
So Nicholas and his friend, Rudolph, began their journey to the mainland.
It was normally take days to get to the mainland, but when he used Rudolph to fly, it only took a matter of minutes.
When they arrived to the mainland, Nicholas ran to the town square with Rudolph, where he knew the king would be.
People of Brendonville, I have come to give you some news, Nicholas shouts.
Heads everywhere turn, and suddenly everyone's eyes are on Nicholas and Rudolph.
Everyone was silent, and suddenly a loud shriek was heard. People were screaming while stepping away from Rudolph's red nose.
No need to be afraid. Rudolph would never harm anyone.
People in the crowd didn't care to listen and started to run away or hide.
Nicholas tried and tried to talk to the people, but it was no use. Nobody would listen to him.
People started to shout and protest, saying Nicholas was a madman for bringing Rudolph.
Then Nicholas went on Rudolph's back, wanting him to show the people that he could fly.
But Rudolph was too scared and nervous to fly or go anywhere. Instead, Rudolph ran away into the woods.
As soon as Nicholas and Rudolph were far enough into the woods, Nicholas jumped down into the snow and started pacing back and forth, frustrated with Rudolph.
Why didn't you show them you could fly or do any of that and talk?
I was terrified. They were all yelling and pointing at me, Rudolph exclaimed.
You can at least show them that what you could have done, Nicholas said with frustration.
And this is all my fault. You ain't the one being pointed at like some monster, Rudolph cried.
Okay, I'm sorry. I should have thought this through more. I was thinking of me, not you.
Yeah, you should have, Rudolph said silently.
Okay, but we need to get out of here. It's not safe for me or you.
What do you mean? Not safe for me or you? How? Rudolph says, confused.
I'm going to be put in jail for using the science lab without permission, and you could be killed in a matter of seconds.
Killed? Yeah, we gotta get out of here, man.
Okay, but I need to stop at my house and pick up some things before we leave.
Alrighty, let's go, but hurry. I don't look good dead.
Nicholas and Rudolph fly away into thin air.
Once Nicholas lands home, he gathers all of his money, clothes, and all his notebooks from his university he needs.
Lastly, he leaves a note for his parents telling them what had happened and giving them all of his love.
Nicholas soon leaves to a place far away where nobody could find him or Rudolph.
Nicholas soon settled into a small apartment, sneaking Rudolph in the back.
The duo made it into their own home, but Nicholas wanted to make more deer-like animals just like Rudolph.
Nicholas spent years and years planning, experimenting, and trying everything he had done to make Rudolph the first time.
Soon, Nicholas made one deer-like animal who talked and could fly, but didn't have a red nose like Rudolph.
Is that supposed to be another me? Rudolph asked.
Yes. What do you think? Nicholas asked.
He ain't look nothing like me, Rudolph snorts.
I don't want to look like you. What kind of tomato-looking nose is that? The deer-like creature says.
Excuse me? Rudolph asks.
You heard me, the creature talks back.
Okay. No more of this bickering. You two will be brothers from now on, and I'll try to make more of your species.
Yes, but just make them without that big red glowing nose, the creature says.
How about you get rid of this one and make more useful ones? Rudolph exclaims.
Nicholas ignores them, and every day and night he makes more creatures. There were two, now three, now four, and continued on.
As the small apartment filled up, Nicholas stopped with having eight deer-like creatures, but no red nose.
Nine, including Rudolph. Their names were Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen,
Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, and of course, Rudolph the red-nosed deer-like creature.
Then there was a knock on his door. Nicholas opened the door.
There was a beautiful woman standing in front of him.
Hello, sir, but I believe you have pets in here, which aren't allowed, and you're leaving quite a noise up here.
I'm sorry. I will get rid of my pets and the noise.
Well, what pet do you have? The woman asked.
Deer?
Deer? Sir, are you trying to be funny?
No, I mean reindeer, Nicholas says.
Reindeer? What kind of pet is that? She looks over his shoulder to see all the deer in the room.
Nicholas just stares at her in awe.
Are those deer flying? She exclaims.
No. Come in here, as Nicholas pulls her into the room.
Let me go, she yells.
Look, I know we just met, but tell me you see those deers flying, Nicholas says desperately.
I don't believe my eyes, the woman says.
Hey, company, my dudes, Dancer says.
And my ears! They can talk? The lady asks.
Look, what is your name? Nicholas asks.
My name is Nancy. And yours? She asks, zoned out.
Nicholas, now I'm going to be looking for someone, but I need someone like you to help me, Nicholas says.
This is crazy, Nancy says.
Yes, it is, but if you can act somewhat calm in situations like this, then they can take you anywhere you want to fly, faster than a train can.
Anywhere I want? Nancy's eyes light up.
Anywhere you want, Nicholas says.
Nicholas and Nancy both became very close and helped each other out with experiments. Nancy figured out that she loved science and the reindeer.
As things began to look up for the duo, the newspaper came in and sightings of flying deer out in the streets.
Nancy and Nicholas both were shocked and questioned all the reindeer, asking who went in the street when they were told to never be seen out in public.
Slowly they began to figure out that the reindeer were tired of staying cooped up and wanted to travel and be free.
The reindeer could be killed if people knew about them, as soon as people would see them as danger and Nicholas' experiments would go to waste.
Nicholas and Nancy both decided to plan a move to North America where they couldn't be easily found and move away from London.
The duo decided what to do and found they would move to the North Pole, where it was cold, but they found where Nancy's dad's great-grandpa had a shelter out near the North Pole in case the world would go to war again and they would be safe from the rest of the world.
Nicholas and Nancy told the reindeer what had happened, and they all had to settle a date to move the week before Christmas, which was only 2 days away. They all packed what they could and took things they only needed.
Each reindeer would hold a bag worth of Nicholas's and Nancy's things on their backs.
Rudolph would be the leader of his bright red nose leading the way through the dark.
As the day came, everything was moving great, especially with the sled the reindeer would have to carry Nancy and Nicholas on.
As the people were heading to sleep, Nicholas, Nancy, and all of the reindeer went on their mission on heading to the North Pole. It took a while for the reindeer to take off, but as soon as they did, it was smooth on from there.
The freezing cold air made the journey harsh, but they knew it would be worth it in the end.
After flying through the ice and snow for hours, they began hearing strange noises.
"Dancer, I swear, if you pull my tail one more time, I'll have your head," said Rudolph.
"Bro, it wasn't even me," yelled Dancer.
"Well, it had to be one of you," Rudolph said, annoyed.
"Guys, stop. Does anybody else hear that?" asked Nancy.
Everybody went silent for a moment, listening for anything unusual.
"It was probably just the wind," said Vixen nervously.
"Yeah, you're right. I should stop worrying," said Nancy.
And with that, they were all back to sleep, only to find they would wake to an unexpected surprise.
When Nicholas awoke, everything was black. His body was filled with frost.
There wasn't anyone in sight.
Nicholas looked around to see at least one deer or even Nancy in the snow, but Rudolph was gone. Nancy was gone.
But he could make out in the dark a shadowy figure in the woods.
"Nancy! Oh, thank God you're okay."
The figure said nothing.
Nancy? Come here. We need to find the others.
Still, the air filled with complete silence. The figure didn't make any noise nor a single move.
"Well, I'm guessing you're not Nancy. So, did you happen to see any reindeer or deer? I mean, still, nothing but silence."
"Alrighty, well, I think I'll be going now. Thanks for everything," said Nicholas.
But as he started to walk away, frozen, he heard footsteps behind him.
He whipped his body around to see what was going to make the footsteps, only to find the shadowy figure closer than ever.
The figure seemed to be following him.
Nicholas stopped walking immediately and took a long look at the shadowy figure.
He noticed that it had a very masculine shape. It had to be a man. He was also wearing a black beanie, a black jumpsuit, and big black boots.
Nicholas tried not to worry. He tried keeping his mind on finding his friends. He kept telling himself that in a matter of minutes they could be back on their way to the North Pole.
But the strange man seemed to have different plans. As Nicholas continued to walk, the man continued to get closer.
After that, everything went black.
Unfortunately, we have no further records of Nicholas Claus.
Did the man kill him?
Did he freeze in the snow?
Nobody will ever know.